Revelation 9, starting in verse 13, going back to the trumpets. Lord, we just ask you for revelation of you. We want to come into your presence. We just want to be with you. We want your wisdom, your knowledge. We want those treasures of the darkness. And God, more than that, we want the hidden places of the secret place with you. Because we just want to be in oneness with you. For whatever reason you have us study in here, we ask you to open it up and show us what you want us to see. And just prepare our hearts, Lord, to stand with you and for you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're going to start in Revelation 9, 13, because we're up to the sixth trumpet. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Anybody want to comment on that? All of you that did your homework and studied and have revelation there. Anybody want to share? 9:13. I don't really know much about the four horns of the golden altar before God. So the sixth angel sounded, saying, the voices said to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are found in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So we've seen angels in a couple places. We know the first angel with the trumpet is in heaven. And now we're looking at four angels that are loosed out of the Euphrates. So are these angels actual spirits, demons, God's angels, or are they men? Because the word angel actually means messenger. So it doesn't have to mean they're a literal heaven angel or even a demon. It could just mean they're some kind of messengers. They are bringing forth the message of the sixth trumpet. And that message is, the effect of that message is going to be that a third of men on the earth are going to die. We'll talk about that more in a minute, but anybody have any opinions or revelations about what you think about who those angels are that are loosed out of the Euphrates? Something about the number four, huh? Well, I think it's interesting, too, that after they come out of the Euphrates, which that's a question in itself, are they coming out of the water? Where have they been? Were they under that river down in the ground? I mean, where are they coming from when they come out of that river? That's a mystery in itself that God did not give me an answer to.
The Euphrates is dry up.
Not yet. Not yet. He's going to dry it up right before the Battle of Armageddon. It's in process of drying up right now, which I did a little research on that and saved it until we get to that part in Revelation. But it is already beginning to dry up right now. But it's not totally dry yet.
I find it interesting when it says they were prepared for a different amount of time.
Yeah.
Do you have something you want to say about that?
I don't. Yeah, we have no revelation on how they were prepared, but let's assume for a minute that it's demons. Because whatever they are, they're living underwater. They may be under the ground, they may be underwater, but they're in that river and it hasn't been dried up totally yet. There are parts of it that are already pretty dry though. But the Euphrates it goes through Syria and Iraq. And there's already enough drying up that's affected their crops. It's been a real hardship on the areas of it that are already pretty dried up. You know, it's been really hard on them. So it's over in that area of the world. So whatever these messengers are, they're going to come out and do really bad damage. They're going to kill people, a lot of people. And as we go on, the number of the army of the horsemen are 200,000. There's some multiplication. How many is that? 200,000. 2 million. This is an army of 2 million. 2 million. What just came out of that river is 2 million. But they said they loosed the four angels out of that river, and then they were prepared. But by the time they attack, they're 2 million.
So,
because when the four are released, then it takes an hour and a day and a month and a year to form this army of 2 million.
Not necessarily.
Or to prepare this army.
But they were prepared for that.
Right. So I'm saying it's got to be something that, even though they're killing a third of the men, and that's not necessarily Christians. There could be some Christians, there may not be Christian, because even of the men that remain at the end of this, they don't repent. So the devil, wanting to be worshipped himself, also will come against those people who don't worship him. So we know that that's true. So, I mean, already when we see him attacking people, they're not only Christians. A lot of times, you know, the evil comes against everyone. But what we do know is these four that come out are the coming out of that river. And that river's not totally dried up. How do you come out of a river? You either have to come out of the riverbed or you have to come out of the water. So I'm thinking they're spirits. I'm thinking that these are spirits. So what are they doing?
So they were bound. So they were loose.
Yes, they were bound and now they're loose. How did they get bound? That was my next question.
Some people that were in that area.
It could be held back.
Held back until a certain time.
Jax?
Because it said they were prepared for that time. Now, same with the archangels and messengers. What if that time is not preparing then, like, delivering a message? Then after that time, then it came to Boston.
Could be. Well, one of my questions is, how did they get bound in that river? And, you know, when I asked myself that question and thought about it, one answer that came to me is, if they are demons, how about all the times that Christians bind a demon? All the times we're saying, you know, you're delivering somebody and you cast that demon out, you bind a demon. Maybe this is one of the places they get stuck when they get bound somehow, you know. But they're not released to do whatever their evil is. They are not set free to even get ready to do it until they get loosed out of that place. They could be inside of men already, but they haven't been set free. They could never have found a host yet. So when they come out, they have to find men that they can use. Well, the fallen angels are demons.
Yeah,
God's angels aren't bound.
Also, I'm surprised to see this. A third of the angels was cast out.
Right.
I'm just like a third part of them that maybe talking about.
That's interesting.
Demons, if any.
So we don't know exactly what all this means, but we do know that whatever is getting loosed right here is given the freedom to kill a third of men. We're going to come back to that in a minute, but let's look at what they look like once they're prepared. So I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, jacinth, and brimstone. So he saw what he calls horses. At this time in history, John had no concept of cars, planes, trains, vehicles, robots, tanks. When somebody went to war, they did it on a horse. So in his mind, if they're coming to war, it's a horse, but it's an odd horse. It's not a horse like he's ever seen before, but it's something that men are riding on or in to come to war. And we don't believe it's physical horses because of the description. But jacinth is a color of a deepest red that borders on black, or it's even a blackish blue. It makes you think of some kind of metal that has been in the fire that is burning, or you know, it's got that feeling to it. And then brimstone is like a sulfur. It's a yellow stone that gives off toxic fumes when you set it on fire, and it just changes the way it looks to almost look like liquid moving fire, but it gives off this toxic fume. So the power of the fire and the power of the fumes are dangerous. Then the heads of the horses were like lions. I don't know that they were literal lions or a shape that made him think of lions. And out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone, or this toxic sulfur. So thinking of brimstone, I looked up a source online about, it's a lot of men, especially after many men already died in the previous trumpet. Well, it just said many. We're going to go over those in a minute, those trumpets. So I looked up a source about brimstone being used as a weapon. Today, that wasn't a concept they thought of back then, except in his vision. So there's a brimstone missile, and it's a smaller missile intended to use for a definite target, not something they would shoot from outer space or a missile they would shoot from a plane or anything, but it's something that would be used more defined, like if you're in a tank and I want to take out the neighbor's house, but nobody else's house. This brimstone missile could head straight over there and hit the front door and enter that house and blow up only that house. So it's a very definite type missile that was developed by the British. And now it's pretty well everywhere. People have brimstone missiles. But, you know, if you've got all these guys coming in, 2 million of them coming in, and they have brimstone in some form of a weapon, you know, that's kind of interesting. They used them in Afghanistan. It's one of the weapons. It's not a tank. It's one of the weapons. I don't know. What?
Did you see what it looked like?
No. I didn't see a picture of it. But they said that in the Ben Goodlad, senior weapons analyst at IHS, said that the brimstone missile was the only one being used against ISIS that could be either laser guided into the target by a weapons operator or direct itself with radar guidance. So either a laser beam that carried brimstone, or they could actually use radar to shoot brimstone as a weapon. He also said it is the one being used in airstrikes that provides fire, and it also can be used to hit moving targets. Weapons equipped with a GPS guidance have been used to provide this capability also, so they can do it with a GPS. You know, like in other words, they lock into your phone, they're after you. This thing will just chase you. No matter where you run, it'll stay on your GPS and get you. That's one thing they can do with a brimstone missile. Now, I took a picture. Yeah, we should have handed these out already, this first page on the trumpets. The concept of them having a weapon like this in their hand was so foreign to John He had no knowledge of such things. He couldn't even make that up or imagine it. It now exists. But what if the devil already knows about some of these things, since he's been around for billions of years before we got here? What if he already knows of some of these things? Page 2.
How many years do you think the
devil was? I don't know. He was in eternity with God for who knows how long before he fell. So there's things he may know that we don't know about. But I took this picture on page 2 from a game called Infinity Wars. And these characters have power to remain in the game if they have the brimstone weapon in their hand. So who invented this game? What do they know about brimstone? But there's a picture where they depict what they think a brimstone weapon would look like in that game. Then we go down to verse 18 and 19. And by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Well, that's not any horse I ever heard about. So I don't think we're talking a literal horse here. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails, oh man, I got so many typing errors here. Their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So there's been a process of God warning through these trumpets. So now let's look at these past trumpets, because you're going to notice the commonality is the third part. So before God actually allows the killing of a third of the men on earth, trumpet 1, the third part of trees and grass burned up. Trumpet 2, third part of the creatures in the sea died. Third part of the ships was destroyed. Trumpet 3, third part of the waters became wormwood. Many men died. Doesn't say a number. Trumpet 4, third part of the sun and moon and stars were smitten. And the darkness, it was on the earth for third part of the day and night. Then things change, and the rest of the trumpets are going to bring the woes. So in trumpet 5, the bottomless pit opens up. The locusts are on the earth torturing men. I've got to do some correcting here, don't I? For 5 months. Trumpet 6, a third part of men are killed. So if you look at what God is doing, there's a process of warning. Doesn't he love the trees? Doesn't he love the fish in the sea? Doesn't he love his own creation? He does, but he loves man more than any of those things. So he's doing this in a process of saying, watch, open your eyes, see what's coming. Repent before you end up being one of those numbers when the sixth trumpet is sounding. Then in chapter, anybody want to say anything yet? Here, anybody want to comment on that? Anything we've looked at? We just went through these 2 million things that are coming with this fire.
Soldier.
Well, I'm assuming they're soldiers, yeah. But remember, we already had the locusts that were released out of the bottomless pit. We already had them. Were they literal locusts? I don't think so. Because of their description, it sounds more like weaponry and warfare again. So there's some really horrific things happening already on the earth here. Verse 20 through 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, or of their fornication, or of their thefts. When the trumpet number 7 begins to sound, it will release the 7 bowls and the end of time on earth. So we don't see something that belongs only to the 7th trumpet. The whole power of the 7th trumpet will be to release the beginning of the bowls. It's very unique and different from the others. So before we go into trumpet, the scripture takes a break. And we see John's encounter where God tells him specifically things that pertain to him that he can't write. Then in chapter 11, we'll see the time of the 2 witnesses. Now that's important because look what else happened. And now we're coming to the time of the 2 witnesses. And at the end of the 2 witnesses, the earthquake, where a tenth of the city falls, and the remnant give glory to God. there's still some people now. They didn't repent when this happened, but after the event of the two witnesses, some people give glory to God. And that is the second bowl. The seventh trumpet will release the bowls. Okay, so as far as the trumpets go, I went through that kind of quick because we're going to do some other things. But next week you can read chapter 10 and 11. We'll see the vision that John had, and then we'll see what's coming next. But what I want to make a point of tonight is that we are never going to understand all these weird things. And that's really not why we're studying it, to fully understand, to know maybe they don't exist yet. We know they didn't exist when John saw them. So if we're trying to find a picture of this exact war machine, that exact weapon, maybe it doesn't exist yet. But the word says that knowledge is increasing in the last days. And technology is increasing so rapidly right now. And the things that they're making like 10 years from now are going to be way far beyond what we even see right now. So we may end up seeing things that look exactly like they described. But what we are seeing is it's going to take technology. We can see these things are a part of the knowledge increasing in the end days. We don't have to understand exactly what they are. But the fact that John saw them, and we see the possibilities of what they could be or what they could develop out of, is where we can see the truth of the revelation and the truth of the things that are coming. So I'm going to hand you a paper. We're going to talk about possibilities, because our job is not necessarily to go through Revelation and try to understand every strange thing we see, but it is rather to understand God, the revelation of Christ, and the revelation of who we are and what's our part during this time. So I am not saying the possibilities I'm going to show you tonight, I'm not claiming that they are the exact things that John saw. What I am saying is that the Bible says knowledge will increase, and I'm going to show you some things where warfare and knowledge and technology has increased. John only knew of horses. He didn't know about electric lights and lasers and motors that roar and computers and robots, and technology is increasing and these things are changing. It would be foolish to think the devil doesn't have his hand on technology too. There are things being developed we don't even know about. And there's so many things we can know about if you go online and research. I did some of that today. Well, let's look at Daniel, and then I'm going to show you some of the things I found. Daniel 11, 36 through 39. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Look at the next line there. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for shall magnify himself above all. Nothing can affect him. That makes you wonder, why is it that nothing can affect him? Maybe he's not even using a human force. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe a computer. What can affect a computer? You can't reason with it. It won't cry for you. And you can't flirt with it if you're a woman. That robot, that computer, is not going to respond. And it says, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. And that too jumped out to me. The God of forces, technology, robotics, computers, powers that man can put in their hand and use. And a God whom his fathers knew not will he honor with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God. Could this strange God be something of the computer, of the technology, robotic, that type of thing, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory? And he'll cause them to rule over many. He switches here from the strange God, which could be technology, to He causes them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. How did we switch from a it or a he to a them? And again, I am not saying this is how it will be. I'm saying possibilities. If he's using technology and he's using robotics and he's using artificial intelligence and that type of a thing, it could end up with massive robots, massive war machines. So it being the technology he uses and them being the massive reproduction.
Look at movie iRobot.
iRobot, Will Smith. Anyone see that? We'll talk about that when we get to the AI over here. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Hear somebody up there?
Yeah, but I don't think there's anybody up there. I don't know where we're going to hear something from.
I don't know. He'd come down. Jackson, these two pages, give everybody one of each. Well, let me keep one too. Pop one. Oops, that's a two page. This one, and then there's two pages together on that one, so it's actually three, okay? You remember in the other trumpets, we heard about a star falling to earth? Well, I just always assumed that was a real star. And then I saw online fake stars, man-made stars. And I did a little bit of research about that. That scientists, this, let's do this page first and the one that looks like a star second. This one first? This one first. Well, the one that looks like a bright star is second. So scientists are planning to use nuclear fusion to create the world's first man-made star. It will be 10 times hotter than the sun, 3 times heavier than the Eiffel Tower, and scientists think it will solve one of our pressing problems. Scientists and engineers trying to create a giant star to replicate the chemical reaction which occurs on the sun in order to produce energy in the most insane way imaginable. The super hot cloud of hydrogen will rotate faster than the speed of sound while being bombarded with surges of electric current, which will leave the hydrogen 10 times hotter than the sun's core. That is insane. Why do men mess with stuff that could just blow up everything, you know? Insanity. The mind-boggling effort, which the New Yorker called the most... The project is called ITER, or International Thermonuclear Experimental Reactor. And if it all goes according to plan, could provide a large chunk of the world's energy requirements in the future. The mind-boggling effort, which the New Yorker called the most complex machine ever built, will weigh 23,000 tons and be as big as 60 football fields. No. ITER is currently being built in the south of France by a small legion of countries, including the U.S., China, Russia, Japan, and the EU.
What's the EU?
Europe.
European Union.
So inside this monolithic building will be a nuclear reactor with its creators' hope will reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. I put my source at the bottom, so if you ever want to look this stuff up, you can. News.com. This is the same star you're looking at on the next page. Same one that they're talking about.
23,000 tons.
Yeah, full of all that nuclear power. Exactly. The whole thing. Well, it's a triangle, so it's, yeah. Right. Russia is set to launch potentially the brightest artificial object in the night sky, which could outshine everything except the moon starting next month. Mayak, a Russian CubeSat, a miniature satellite, will be fitted with solar reflectors. According to experts, If the miniature satellite is launched, it could have an apparent magnitude of minus 10, New Atlas reports, whereas the moon ranks minus 13 and minus 12. Celestial bodies are measured based on their brightness, with the brightest objects receiving the lowest score, so brighter than the moon. For comparison, the sun has a apparent magnitude of minus 27. Wait a minute. Yeah. Okay, the CubeSat would be brighter than any object in the sky, such as International Space Station or Venus, which have apparent magnitudes of minus 6 and minus 5, respectively. The smallest satellite was designed by students from Moscow Polytechnic and weighs less than 8 pounds. Okay, so that one, that little one there, is set to be rocketed on July 14th, to launch it as a rocket on July 14th. When I read about that star plan, I guess I didn't print that one. They were saying by 2020 they were going to have that big one up in outer space. So what if that's the star that falls? You imagine that thing, it fails, it doesn't work, it doesn't hold up in outer space. That could be the type of star that falls back. Just seeing the things that exist now that did not exist when John wrote the book of Revelation, these are possibilities. They may not be the exact things, but they definitely show us the things he saw are possibilities. We can go to artificial intelligence. Okay, we're going to look at artificial intelligence. If you saw iRobot, Will Smith, he didn't like the robots they were putting out that were supposed to help people. Artificial intelligence was, the whole idea of it was invented by Elon Musk. Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking are two of the most brilliant scientists involved in technology. They're just masterminds. They both love technology. They're all for artificial stars. They're all for all this other technology. But both of them feel that artificial intelligence might be what would end the whole human race. So Stephen Hawking has warned that because people would be unable to compete with an advanced AI, it could spell the end of the human race. Upon reading Superintelligence, the entrepreneur Elon Musk tweeted, "Hope we're not just the biological boot loader for digital superintelligence. Unfortunately, that is increasingly probable." Then he followed with a $10 million grant to the Future of Life Institute, not to be confused with Bostrom Center. This is an organization that says it is working to mitigate existential, I can't say that, facing humanity, facing the things that could end humanity, the ones that could arise from the development of human-level artificial intelligence. He invented it, and now he's funded a whole program to fight against it because he sees where it could go. Bostrom's book is a research proposal for doing that. A superintelligence would be godlike, but would it be animated by wrath or love? That's up to us, the engineers. Like any parent, we must give our child a set of values, and not just any values, but those that are in the best interest of humanity. We are basically telling a god how we'd like to be treated. How do we proceed with that? It's creepy, and I looked into this. I studied a little further on that artificial intelligence and what they're afraid of. What they're doing with it is they're trying to create robots, computers, with a computer brain that they're teaching it how to reason on its own. They're teaching it how to follow logical patterns of thinking, but they don't have a heart, and they're not human. So the fear that these scientists have come up with is, what if we teach them how to follow paths of logic and come to reasonable conclusions, and then their reasonable conclusion is men are the problem with Earth. They fight each other, they kill each other, they pollute the Earth, they destroy the water, they destroy the air. So the only logical solution is men must be eliminated. That is the movie, iRobot.
That's exactly
the movie, iRobot. The robots decided robots should run the earth because men are incapable. That whole movie came out of reports like this, and then they created those movies to show you the danger of the artificial intelligence. Now, the good things about it, they make artificial limbs, where robotically you can move those fingers and do good things, and they're making robots that can help you in tremendous ways by figuring out what's wrong with your body and fixing it. You've probably already been exposed to it with laser surgery on your eye, or the laser surgeries they do internally, where those are much more precise. There's so many benefits to it. But can we believe that the devil and his demons and the people that he infiltrates will not begin to program it for war, for eliminating the humans they don't want here? And how will they determine that? Jackson brought up today, what if in the end they connect that along with the mark of the beast, so they send out the robots, anybody they don't detect a chip in, be eliminated, you know. So everything that's technological, just like television, can be used for good, can be used for evil. So that's a very scary thing that could be used by the devil. Jackson.
Even without the mark of the beast, to have devices that they put in stores, they open it at the front door. When you walk in, it's one of the devices you move over to it, and it's supposed to give a message to, and you name the full name of the person you want to, and it will search for the past with the face of that person. So when they walk in, you can detect their face, call them over and give them the message, and show it again. So the power you detect faces will come.
Well, if Christians are identified and we all have GPS in our phone, in our car, in our computer, once they identify you, they can send one of those missiles, go look for that particular human. I mean, there's so much technology that we can see probably, you know, as we go on through Revelation, we are not going to understand all the weird things he saw, but we can definitely see the possibilities that are here today to develop those things. So we're going to look at one more thing, because I talked about people running to and fro, and I'm going to show you another thing that's being developed. I've got two pages for this one, I think, just two. This is a new transportation thing, to go like that, this one on top, okay? I'm going to take mine and pop this, and then you take the other six. I just thought we had some very interesting research to share tonight about possibilities. And then we don't have to try to identify everything we read about. We just know that it's possible. In many ways possible. You can look any of these up online and look further into them if you want. What you're looking at here is called a hyperloop. And there's several versions of the hyperloop. So who invented the hyperloop? Elon Musk. There he is again. He popularized the idea of a white paper in 2013, although the idea of using air pressure to move transport has been around since the 18th century. When would they build something to transport people this way? The hyperloop won. Says it plans to build the first functioning Hyperloop system by 2021. It completed and tested its first 500M prototype track in the Nevada desert. Backers of the project envisioned the pods reaching speeds 750 miles per hour. Skeptics say the Hyperloop idea faces real-world challenges, ranging from obtaining construction permits to making turns at jet speed. Hyperloop One has raised $160 million in funding and touted the technology potential as rapid trans option. The Hyperloop One will move people and things faster than at any other time in the world. Whatever this guy's name is, co-founder and executive chairman of Hyperloop One, said that in a statement. Anyway, a major global cyber attack could cost $53 billion in economic losses with a natural disaster. What is that doing in there? I didn't read all those words. I studied up on this, but I didn't read all that printout right there. You look at the next page. We're not building just one of these things. We plan to build hundreds of units to this. We had to develop a manufacturing process. The first ones you saw last year were handcrafted. Now this is a full automated manufacturing process. This is one of the planned maps for, you know, they plan to cover the world with these transit systems. It's a plan reminiscent of the world metro map designed in 2003 by Mark Ovedon, which imagines a global underground system could look like. So they have these planned above ground, and they have them planned underground. And basically, it's giant tubes, which you seat people in it, and you transport them at 700 miles an hour all over the world, place to place. These things would exist. It's horrid. To me, I hate it. Trapped inside a tube, underground, even above ground. You know how sick you'd be moving that fast?
Well, there has to be something.
Gotta be something to it. But what stood out to me with this is we keep seeing things came out of the pit. Things came out of the river. Things came out of, they have stuff going on underground. We have no idea how much is going on underground. And some of these things that are coming out of the earth may be some of the things that have been hidden from us that are now coming out to be exposed. They may not even literally come out, but the knowledge of them comes out. There's more knowledge. There's so much going on in our world that we have no clue about, and yet a lot of it's right on the internet if we go on and go look it up. Years ago, we've been in this house 14 years. With the last house we lived in, God had me, he just kept popping up news articles to me, and one of them was about things they were doing in the floor near the Panama Canal. And the Lord said to me, things they're doing in the floor of the ocean are going to come back on men, and they're going to be sorry they messed with the earth the way they did. But on the floor of the ocean, what are they doing on the floors of the oceans? What are they doing? And like I said already, we're going to read about it later as we get into the bowls. But the Euphrates drying up, it's already begun to dry up. You don't dry up a river like that in a day, and it has already begun drying up. So we're that close to, that dries up right before Armageddon to allow those armies to cross that dry land. That's Syria and Iraq. It's over in that area. And that river is part of what has kept Israel safe. So when it dries up in that area, and those armies can come across, and it's already beginning to dry up. So we have to be getting very close to those times. You know, we see the signs, we see these things. But again, our study is not as much about trying to pinpoint exactly what they look like, exactly what they're going to do, but rather it's real, it's true, and today it's possible. Things that weren't possible when they wrote it now are possible with the technology that exists and the river already drying up and the condition of the world. And the message is, be ready. If you were born at this time, you're born for this time, you have something, a deposit of God in you of what God wants to do on earth. And that's what we really want to be into knowing. I want to know Christ. I want to know what he's doing, and I want to know who I am in Christ. What's my purpose? Why am I here? And these things might sound scary, but they're not scary, because no matter what is going on, God is more powerful. And the miracles are going to increase. The miracles of God are going to just be beyond belief. We're going to see things of God we never even dreamed of, you know. And there's things that are for this time. When the devil increases, God increases even bigger. And that's why we went back and we looked at Moses in Egypt, because he went in there to deliver those people. And we're here to deliver people out of the devil's realm and into God. And the miracles that are available in the time that are needed to do that are fantastic. And they're more powerful than the devil. When you don't take a mark of the beast, you can't pay for your house. You're not going to have a house. You can't pay for your car. You're not going to have a car. If you can't pay for food, you're not going to buy food. But God will provide miraculously because we'll need for Him to. And He will. And we're going to be seeing the miracles of God if we're walking with Him, listening to Him, if we're ready to stand with Him in that time. But some people, you know, there's a verse somewhere that says somebody died and said they considered not that He took them from the evil to come. There are those who will be taken out, and there are those who are for the evil to come to be here to represent God. And that's what we really want to keep in mind as we go through our study, that if we're alive, if we're here, we have a deposit of God to release, to let the glory of God overpower and to win people and rescue them out of sin, out of the devil's camp. That's our point. Our point, I mean, everybody wants to know what these things are. What do they mean? That's why I brought all that tonight. There you go. There's the fun of looking at what it could mean. There it is. Go research it. Look at it. There's the possibilities. But that's not really what we need to worry about. From this point on in our study, we need to be looking at, what does God want me to be prepared for? Who am I? What's my purpose? Why am I on earth? I know one of my purposes is to keep preaching the training of end time ministers. Whether I'll be here or not for all of it, or a great part of it, I don't know. But I know I'm here to train others to be ready for it. And I'm just consumed with that right now. The books I'm writing are consumed with that. But the books I'm writing are, they're also showing the power of God in ways that's tremendous. In one of my books, a man was transported miraculously because he couldn't drive a car anywhere anymore. So he was transported into a city where persecution was going on, and he raised his hand up and declared things of God, and they cut his hand off. And then he was immediately back among his people. And a little girl came up to him and said, "I believe God said, put your arm in the dirt." So he put his arm down in the dirt, and he said, "If I had fingers, I'd think there was a worm crawling on my fingers." And he pulled it out of the dirt, and he had a hand, and there was a worm crawling on his fingers. And he said, "I never thought I'd be so happy to see a little worm." But these are things God's giving me to put in the books. These are things that are going to happen. These things are going to happen. I really don't feel like I'm making them up, because I'm usually amazed at what He tells me to write and saying, "Wow," you know. And if I even try to write making it up, I don't even get an idea. So I believe these are things we're going to go through. These are things we're going to live through, and we need to be ready. Some people are excited about that. Why would you be excited about it? It's like, why would you be excited to be a preacher if nobody wants to hear you like Jeremiah, but still he wanted to do it? Because it's why you're here, is what you're created for. What is it that excites you with God in your own life? You know, the women we talked about on Tuesday, we talked about the difference in selfishness and selflessness. If you're created in the image of God and He's selfless, anytime you're being selfish, you're miserable. You'll be miserable anytime you're just caught up in what you want, what you think, how you feel, what about me. You'll be miserable. As soon as you lose your life and find your real life, you have to be in oneness with God. Selfless. Selfless. With purpose. And when you have purpose, you're motivated to live. So we just need to keep finding God. Because when you find God, you find you. That's why you suddenly get happy. You can be so miserable and you start seeking Jesus, and all of a sudden you want to smile. Because as soon as you see Him, He's looking at you, and you see yourself as He sees you. And then you've got that peace back. So though those things are going on, we're not going to be afraid of any of it. If we're walking with the Lord, we're not going to worry about any of that.
One precious nourishment and holding on that at a time, and merciful men are taken away, not considering that the heart
Anybody any comment on anything?
When you said that lasers guided, I can see them in saying that with nature and lasers, but usually lasers are guided being like a laser aimer, like a little pointer laser, yeah. Not necessarily shooting lasers.
Right. Laser showing you where to hit. Yeah. Guided. Yeah.
Are they those weapons, pistol weapons? Are they handheld or do they?
They could probably be whatever. Either way. It's all speculation. You know, there's revelation and speculation, and these possibilities are speculation of which things they would use or how they would use them. That's speculation. God let me bring a lot of speculation tonight as possibilities, saying, remember, I'm not saying this is exactly how it will be, but I'm showing you possibilities of things that could be. The technology's here for them to use. In 10 years, there'll be more technology. Technology grows rapidly. You get excited about that. Because see, there is the good use of technology. God's people learning about it so that they can understand it and use it for Him. It's what we say with TV. Years ago, the church was telling people, TV is evil, you shouldn't own one, and people are taking a hammer and busting their TVs and never going to watch it again. You know, there's a button there. Well, we used to call it a dial. And now there's a remote control. I'm showing my age. There's a remote control. Change the station. Watch something good, you know. You can choose what you watch. TV can play Christian movies, godly movies, awesome things. Or you can watch filth. You know, it's your choice. Technology is the same. God, if God gave you the gifting and the intelligence to get into it, He's got a purpose. He's got a purpose in the end times for you in technology. That's awesome. It's exciting. Moses, rod turned into a snake. The magicians turned into two snakes. Rose's snake ate both of them. You know, God's always got more power than anything the devil can do. Well, what's amazing is that, I keep going back to Our Lady study, I can't help it, I'm full of it. But in Isaiah 45, I think is where we were at, where God said, ask me, concerning things to come, concerning my son, and then concerning the works of my hands, and then command ye me. So in other words, if we just ask God, what are you doing? What do you want to do? And when God tells you that answer, you have all the power to command it to happen. And that is more power than any computer. Because God's more powerful than technology. So if you have the word of God, I mean, I don't care how smart all of Egypt was. They could not make water come out of a rock. They could not make quail rain from the sky. Manna. But Moses had power with God because God told him what he wanted to do and then it could be commanded to happen. Once you know what God is saying, nothing can disobey what God speaks. But we have to increase, an increase in faith. We know that we believe God is, He exists, and He can do anything, but we don't always have the faith to know what He's doing and believe that He will do that specifically. So we need an increase in faith during these times to believe God will do what He says He wants to do, instead of the doubt that says, well, I'm not sure, maybe it's my imagination, I don't want to say that, then what if it doesn't happen, you know? If you're seeking Him and you ask Him and you get the thought, then stand on it. If you're wrong, you're wrong. He'll forgive you. Nobody's going to kill you for making a mistake. We just got to get bold. But it comes from seeking Him and listening to Him. That's bigger than computers, bigger than technology and robots. That's not artificial intelligence. That's real intelligence. That's right.
You have more connections in your brain than every electrical system in the U.S. Every wire that's connected in the U.S., every chip that's connected, every electrical connection, your brain has more.
That's right. And then God's more than that.
Just He created that.
Yeah. living in an amazing time. And I'm not that smart. I mean, I'm not. I wasn't born to be the one to understand all that computer and technology and all those things, you know. But probably you will. Which is very cool. Excites me too, I'm gonna stay close to you. There had to be a humility. And there had to be a crushing to develop the humility.
He, like Jesus, submitted himself to God's will. And Jesus did not open his mouth because he knew who was in charge. I believe Moses learned that also.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times he didn't open his mouth to defend himself when he was accused of being, you know, you think you're super, you think you're the best person in the world. He didn't have to. God defended him. Well, sounds like our trust. Who do we trust?
Yeah.
You know, do I trust my own ability or do I trust His? And every time that I decided to let God defend me, even though I wanted to, I mean, it was screaming inside me to say something, there was always a better outcome than what I would have produced.
Right.
What I would have produced would be anger and retribution and vengeance. And when He takes care of it, when he handles the vengeance side of it, it's absolutely perfect. His justice is perfect.
Yeah. Amen.
Exactly. And what's amazing too, He will provide another individual to take up your cause. That's what happens to me. When I had individuals come against me, I decided to simply let God take care of the situation. Well, I brought another person into that situation who took my side without my talking to the person.
Wow.
He took my side and defended me against those who were gainsaying against me.
Wow.
I didn't say a word. I just submitted myself to Him.
That's cool.
I wanted to say a lot of words. You don't know how much I fought.
You know that scripture in Proverbs, it says, answer not a fool according to his folly.
Yes.
And then it says, answer a fool, lest he be wise in his own mind or sight. And I used to ask God, how can you say that and then say the flip of it? And He said, discernment. When to answer and when not to. Asking God, when do I answer? When do I shut up? Because there's a time that answer will help someone, and there's a time it won't.
If we would simply do what Jesus did, He said, I say what I hear my Father say. If we keep our mouth shut unless we say what our Father says, we can live life just like Jesus did.
Yeah, if you could only talk when you knew exactly what God was saying, you would be a miserable little child, wouldn't you? Because you love to talk.
That's right,
yes. But you know, when he pronounced woes against the scribes and the Pharisees, wow, I mean, obviously, he would not have said that unless his Father said it.
Right.
So his Father was saying that, and then he said, and it caused a lot of trouble, a lot of hatred, a lot of anger.
Yeah.
Retribution.
Yeah, when He just healed people, they believed on Him, but He didn't commit Himself to them because He knew their heart. But when He spoke warnings and woes, then they wanted to kill Him. Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're going to be speaking some warnings and woes that people won't like. In love, but they still won't like it. One time He showed me preaching about homosexuality in the most gentle, loving, God loves you, God accepts you, you know, he just wants you. And I was preaching that it is wrong, but it's forgivable and God wants you. And I was preaching, it was just full of God's love, and they wanted to kill me. They really wanted to shut me up and kill me. And that was the time he showed me, when you're preaching that message and they want to kill you, I'm going to give you a 6-car all around you protection. Because if I didn't, they would kill you. Even though it's brought in love. Because men love darkness and they didn't want any light shined into their darkness. They didn't want to lose their delusion that what they were doing was okay. They didn't want to come out of it. And that's the sadness of it. But God doesn't send the warning because he's mad at them. He sends it to rescue them. I know today they think you need to just be so careful not to offend anyone. Jesus said some pretty offensive things. But I'm sure he did it in love.